this make me yell louder. I must be heard. Heard. Oh, it's... Yeah. All right, so anyway, good morning, and thanks for being here. We've got a few new people that I've never seen before, which is great. Past few weeks, we've been talking about getting, like, more structure here at the church and getting people more involved and that kind of thing and all that. And we've been doing a lot of, like, organizing this and that and whatever needs kind of done and all that kind of thing. And we thought that it would be important to talk about why it's important for people to get involved with the church. It's great. It's great that you guys, if you just come on Sunday and, you know, and all that, but there's like a real importance for everybody to have a role at this place. We talked about how nobody is paid, so we can't like rely on the cleaning crew to come in and clean the place up because we don't pay anybody to clean the place. So it's up to us to get together and make that all work. So so the importance of having a role in TLR. Involvement is important because no one here is paid to get things done. So that's kind of being redundant here. But so that means that individuals need to step up and take on some of their responsibilities. One way you can look at this as being a volunteer. The definition of a volunteer, of the act of volunteering, is taking on a task, responsibility, or a project. And the person, in the noun of a volunteer, is a person that actively takes on a task, a responsibility, a project on his or her own accord without needing to be assigned, ordered, or told to do so. One of the things I've noticed with people I've talked with about volunteering about things is the thing like Ben was talking about, that what's in it for me attitude. And it's kind of like they either view volunteering as, oh, this would be fun to do, or they look at it as like, that's a lot of work. And so I was asking my lovely girlfriend Nancy what her definition of volunteering was, and she said that, and I thought she would say something like what I just said, and she goes, well, I balance and I think about, does it line up with my core beliefs? And it's like this real deep thing. And so it like totally blew what I wanted to do out of the water. But I think a lot of people look at volunteering as either it's a fun thing to do or it's really kind of a thing they have to do as far as work, as opposed to whether the activity really does kind of line up with what you believe in and your values and what you believe. But the last that I knew, this is kind of my soapbox part that I get on, is like the last I knew this was still a church. So I would like to see this thought of as not as volunteering, but as taking on ministries. And according to the Free Dictionary by Farlex, the first definition of the word ministry is the act of serving. The definition of a minister is to attend to the needs of. So I would like for us to view these things as a ministry, not as volunteering or work or whatever. And Patrick's going to talk about a lot of stuff. He's got papers to hand out and all that, so it all kind of tie together, hopefully. So one thing I think is good about taking on a ministry here at the church is it's a way for believers to serve the church. Obviously, that's kind of... Then there's also a way for believers to serve each other. It's a way for believers to disciple new believers or even those who need or want Christian growth. There's a lot of Christians who are Christians, but they just need a lot of growth. And it may even be a chance for someone who is deciding whether or not they want to follow Jesus, if they want to be involved in a church. So, I haven't cleared this with anybody, but my thinking is that if you feel you want to get involved even if you're not sure that you believe in God or if you want to follow Jesus or whatever, I still think it's a good opportunity to be, if you want to find out more about what it is to follow Jesus, you need to hang out with people who claim to follow Jesus. Now, that may be a good thing, it may be a bad thing, but you can't really get a lot about it going on Sunday mornings for an hour and listening to some guy talk. You really need to kind of get immersed into the subculture of Christianity and with the people and all that. So even if you're here wondering about whether this whole Jesus thing is worth dealing with, I would suggest that if you want to, when we have things going on, go ahead and hang out with us and find out if it. Okay. It's also a way for all of us to serve God. This won't take long. It's not even going to be 10 minutes, I don't think. Okay. But anyway, it's a way for all of us to serve God. And Jesus is pretty clear in Matthew 25 that what you do for other people or don't do for other people, you're doing it to him. So it's not like for those of us who proclaim to follow Jesus that if I don't help somebody, that I'm just not helping this person. Jesus says if you don't help this person, you're not helping him either. And so it kind of puts a little more of a drastic spin on it as opposed to, being selfish. All right, now, some questions we can ask ourselves is, what would I like to do to help the church? It seems fairly logical. And what am I able to do to help the church? Why am I not able to help? Because that's kind of a lot of things that people say about that. And the one that I think that we all really need to think about is, why would I not want to help? If I want to be a part of this, why would I not want to be involved? I'm going to read a couple of passages of Paul's attitude towards serving and everything. The first one I have is from 1 Corinthians 10:31. I'm in the Old Testament for some reason. And this is, he's definitely in this passage, he's talking about back in the day when he was around, they would sacrifice animals to pagan gods and stuff, and the whole thing was about whether a Christian should eat that meat and all this, and he's talking about how it's okay to do it. But I think it's very intentional that he throws this in here, because he says, so whether you eat or drink, and he doesn't stop there, he adds, or whatever you do. It's almost like he knew that if I just leave it like this, I'll just think it's all about eating of the meat and stuff. But he throws in this whole thing about, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to the Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I, too, try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. So if you take that passage from what he's saying is he imitates Christ, that must mean that Christ is somebody who tries to serve other people. I'm going to tie that in with 1 Corinthians 9. And I want you to listen to his motivation behind why he does what he does. He says, even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. So he's talking about how he is a slave to people. He's a servant. Okay? When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I too lived under the law. Even though I am not subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. When I am with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, do everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share it in its blessing. So what is Paul's motivation for being a slave to all people? Does it like four times. Yeah, it's all about bringing people to Christ. So I think So I think we need to remember that, yes, it's good to help other people just because it's good to help other people, without a doubt. But Paul definitely says here that his goal is to bring people to Christ. By serving other people is to bring them to Christ. What I feel, though, is, well, I don't want to say the best reason, but it's got to be up there, is the reason for serving others is so we become more like Christ. That should be our goal anyway, is to become more like Christ. 1 John 2:6 says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Okay? And I will go back and I will read the passage that Ben and Jess read at the thing, at the retreat, and I think it was up on last week. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. So Paul, as Philippians 2, started at 5. So Paul is making it very clear that there's a equality or whatever with being like Christ and being a servant. So a couple of things I would like for all of us to do, including me, is search our hearts to see if our core values even do line up with Jesus. I mean, my feeling is, if you think that you don't need to serve other people, then your values that you have do not line up with what Jesus teaches. So if that, you know, so first of all, you know, search yourself for that to see if you even agree with that. And then ask God what he would like for you to do, as opposed to just doing what it is you want to do. I think the easy thing is, which is the good thing, is if God has given you a certain skill or talent or whatever, you should use that. I mean, I think it's blatantly obvious. But it doesn't mean that just because you don't have a certain talent at something that God cannot give you that ability if you ask him to help you with that. The one thing that I constantly do is I ask God to change my heart, because I tend to think that I know what is right for me, and I'm pretty sure I am right about that until I ask God about it, and then he tends to tell me how wrong I am. But to pray about it. And the other thing that I do is when I pray about something like this, I don't always do this because I know it works if I do it, but I ask God to remind me to pray about it. Because I'll just be like in the middle of the day be doing nothing, and it'll pop in my head that you're not praying about this, and I'll pray about it. And because the whole thing is, really, we don't want people just to sign up for something because you're all pumped up for it, because eventually in a couple of weeks you won't be all pumped up for it anymore, and then we're right back where we started. We want these things that need to be done, like I said, as a ministry, as a way to serve others, to ask God to change our hearts to want to serve others. I'm not anymore a big King James fan, a big King James Bible fan. But there's a verse in when they do the whole thing about Jesus washes their feet and everything like that. And I'll paraphrase this, but basically he tells them that he says that you should be like me. And if you want to be happy, you'll be like me. The word he uses is happy. And usually, happy is not used very often in the Bible, because it's not about being happy. It's about changing your life, living your life the way God wants life to be lived, so his kingdom can be started to be set up. But I just thought it was always cool that Jesus says, you know, happy is he who does what I do. And we kind of think about washing people's feet and cleaning stuff like that, that it's not really a happy thing to do. But apparently it is if you allow God to change your heart. So so we would like for at least the next week and a half or so, or of course you can pray as long as you want, but about this. And Patrick is going to hand out some papers. Is he still here? And he's going to kind of tell you about the things we have to do and all that kind of stuff like that. But so I'll turn it over to Patrick. Are you? Does anybody have anything to add to what I've said that I left out maybe or I was wrong about? Anything like that? You want this one, right, Patrick? Yeah, I've heard that before, too. You want this chair? Get out of your way.
Nope, it's working. Okay. All right. So last week, you know, we kind of talked about some of the directions that we wanted to head with the church. I think we were trying to distribute the workload a little bit more, so taking away some of the burden that's on the elders, get people involved as much as possible, and that came out of the retreat we had, and kind of promised that we'd go off and talk about how we'd want to redistribute things. And so I'm coming back with the work that we did on Thursday. Okay, so on Thursday we got together. We kind of had this little post-it party for anybody that's an engineer at Cummins or something. Use some nerdy engineering tools for this. But we had about 15 people. We had good turnout. And asked everybody to list out activities or responsibilities that go on at TLR. So pretty much everything that maybe you're seeing now, the music on Sundays, community meals, discipleship, just small groups, everything that we do, right? And then we consolidated in groups of four or five and just said, okay, this is really what goes on here. Let's make a post-it note for every one of those items. And so we did that, and I grabbed all the post-it notes, and I read them off one by one, and we put them up on the wall here. And we kind of said, all right, the first one's up on the wall. The second one, does this go with it, or doesn't it go with it? No, it's a separate group, so we make a separate group. And then we just went through the whole thing like that. We then gave them titles. And we kind of read through them again, said, does this meet what the title is? And we moved the post-its around until it really made sense, okay? And so what we ended up with was eight different groups that really felt like they matched what goes on here at TLR. So this is in the handout. That's right. We had some fun with the post-its. It wasn't all, yeah. That's good. So I'm going to just walk through real quick what each of the groups are. I think it's in your handouts. You'll be able to see that, and you'll be able to read. Yes? Right. And with no paid staff, right, it's not like we're just listing out all the, oh, we'd love to have this, and we're going to put in a spa next year and all this stuff, right? It was just basically what we do. There was a few nice-to-haves in there. I think there was a little bit of growth opportunity. But, basically it was what we do. And so we got eight nice groups. And Josh Brown put that handout together. So thanks to Josh for doing that. And he basically took all the post-its and put them in this fashion. So it was really interesting how half of them came out to be ministry-related, and the other half came out to be administrative-related. So things that just keep the church going, right? But this first half is ministry. So we have outside the walls, children's ministry, inside the walls, and Sunday morning planning. So I think, you know, just to cover them really quick, outside the walls is anything that's involving folks that aren't here right now, right? How do we reach out to people in the community? What are those things that we do? And a big part of that, we divided that out further into relationships that we have with certain organizations in the community, and then events that we do. So one-day events, You know, for a long time we were doing the art night, things like community meal today, block parties, coat drives, those sorts of things, right? So that's outside the walls. And then we have the children's ministry, and a whole lot really goes on with that. I don't see a big part of that. I don't jump into that myself, but I know there's a lot of intense work, and those folks can use a lot of help because a lot really does happen upstairs while we're down here talking. Then we have inside the walls, so adult discipleship that occurs here. Then there's pastoral care. If somebody's sick, you need to, you know, go visit them in the hospital, or there's a funeral or anything like that, that'd be pastoral care. And then we have fellowship as well. So those are retreats, TLR meals together, church picnics, those sorts of things. And then we've got Sunday morning planning. And that came out to teaching, music, and hospitality. So a whole lot really goes on there in the ministry section. But we got it subdivided into these four categories. And then the second four were all administrative related. So, again, we don't have any janitors or anything like that. So there's cleaning and supplies. Maintenance on this building. When we got this building, it didn't look this way. And a lot of things tend to break on a regular basis. And so there's maintenance that goes on, so we need help with that. There's finances. So we have tithes that go to the bank, and they, you know, tax forms to fill out, and licenses. So those all fall under finances. And then communication. We used to have a website. I think it's, I don't even know if it's still there. I thought it was. Doesn't sound like it is. We need to get that going again. TLR phone, publicity, Facebook, email, how we communicate inside the church and to outside the church. It all falls under this communication part. So when we put that together, it sort of came out into this graph or whatever you want to call it there. And I think everybody's got that on their paper. And so, you know, a big part of what we talked about last week was having groups or teams for each one of these categories. And then that team would decide, hey, one of us is going to be a representative, and we're going to get together once a month, and, you know, all the teams together, and they'll discuss how they're going, accountability, and really just look for ways that we can improve and get better together, or where we need help, right? So this is where we're at now. So it took, you know, some time to get here, and where do we want to go with it? Next steps. You know, for right now and this week, the rest of the week, I'm just asking you to think maybe where you fit in. So Herb had a lot of good information that he talked about why maybe you'd want to fit into this pie. And so just be prayerful about that, right? Think about how you can serve the Lord throughout the week. We don't want you to sign up for something because, you know, we've passed around a sign-up sheet and everybody's going to see your name. And you just put your name down there, and then a couple weeks later, it fizzles out. We really want people to be involved and really cared and concerned about this. So we're saying next Sunday. I don't know if we're going to have a form or little pieces of paper. I don't know what we're going to do. We'll figure it out. But just write your name on that form when you get it and what team you might like to be involved in, okay? And then the thought is that they'll get rolled up. I think we said the Abrams and the Newells. That may change. I went ahead and signed them up for this anyways. But what is that? But we'll compile it, organize it into the teams. And then my thought right now, which this may change completely, but it was that we would just get those teams together and have them talk and discuss about it and say maybe who wants to be the rep and what part of that do you want to do, right? And just because you sign up maybe for the cleaning team, this might sound weird, but you don't necessarily have to clean. Maybe you just organize and you're responsible for the making sure the cleaning actually happens, right? So some of it could be organization. So we need people to lead them. We need doers as well. So like I said, next week we'll just have those sign-ups. And then beyond that, the teams can get together and discuss where they want to go with it. So that's like a lot of organization for TLR encompassing over, I don't know, as long as I've been going here. So does anybody have any questions about that? Because that's there's really a whole lot that I just said there in a very short amount of time that we've never done or encroached upon before. Does anybody have any thoughts or concerns? Or yeah, if you're not going to be here we can certainly, and it's not a one-time only thing, right? There'll be more opportunities to get involved. We're just trying to spur this, really trying to get something going. Eric. However you want it to. So, I mean, we didn't really get to that, right? But let's say you were on Inside the Walls. We just thought that we might as well give them titles because they do categorize or organize themselves in that way. My thinking was just that we would still just have one rep for Inside the Walls. Now, if the Inside the Walls team gets together and they say, we want three, we don't want one, then that's what we do, right? We'll be flexible to it. I think the whole idea with this is that we're starting somewhere, and wherever it goes is wherever it goes. And I think, you know, with being prayerful about that, it'll go in the Lord's direction, and it'll be fine. So right now, my initial thought was one, but if we get a different person for every blue category who really wants to go after it and who's active with it, that's amazing. Absolutely. Yeah, we want people involved. So if you want to get involved in just one of those things on there, I think that's when you get together with the team and say, hey, I've got a lot of energy towards this. I'd like to be involved in that. And that's where it stands, right? I would also encourage folks, though, to maybe step out of their comfort zone. I know when I've stepped out of my comfort zone multiple times, wherever, whatever walk of life it is, there's a lot of rewards for that. And I think the Lord has shown through the Bible that he doesn't always take the most obvious people, right? So, I think we can be that same catalyst for God in through this, right? So I'm not all about, I don't know, the sympathy flowers and cards section. But if nobody steps up for it, it might be me, and I might find out that's a really good growth opportunity for me. So I don't really want to do that, so I'd love it if somebody else would take that. But just keep that in mind, right? It doesn't have to be this perfect fit because this group isn't 100 million people, and there's not going to be a perfect fit. That's right. So when the teams get together, my thought was, hey, if we decide that the art night is not effective for God and you know, there's not a big push here, not effective for the community, that we don't do art night anymore. And maybe we put something else in its place, or maybe we just don't do it. But this is sort of what we have been doing and what's just out there. So we wanted to put them and lump them together. So there's a whole lot of room for flexibility. So really anybody who's excited about this can come in and help organize it, because we really are this, you know, flowing organization, and there's plenty of room for change still. So, Stephen. I think next week you just say that you're interested, and then when that team gets together, you come in there and you say, hey, I really want to clean toilets with the cleaning crew, but that's it for the cleaning, but I'd like to lead communication. And then they get there, and if there's five people that want to lead communication, then you guys just have a chat about it. I mean, we're not going to make big votes or assign big titles, right? I think right now you would say, I want to be involved in these teams. And then when the teams get together, then you chat about how you guys form and do things. So, because, again, I mean, if somebody has a better way, then let's talk about that right now. Like, I don't have a problem with that. But just starting, I think, is we just got to get the ball rolling, you know. And so that's the hardest part. And so I'm just trying to pick things that seem like they'll work, and then we'll just go with it. Any other questions? Nancy?
So if you can't get people to step up and do something, will it just go away?
No, it won't go away. I mean, I'm sure we can, I think we'll be able to fill these roles, right? I mean, there's eight titles, but there's a whole lot of work that needs to get done, and it gets done in some capacity or another today already, right? But we really want to be able to spread that opportunity to serve to everybody, take the workload off of the people that do hours and hours of work here on a weekly basis and don't get paid a dime. Not that it's about the money, but right? I mean, money is important in our society, so I think we should spread the workload. And today, if today's your first time here, I'm not necessarily talking directly to you folks, right? This is more, I guess, for the people that have called this church home. So, Yeah, if you're bored and you want to come, you know, throw in a paintbrush, we'd love to help. We'll pay for the pizza, right? Yeah, so I think that's something we can talk more about, but the finance team specifically was not about determining where the funds go. They're about organizing the finances of the church, right? And so we can talk about that in many different ways, but I think it just sort of depends. So if you're on the events committee and you say, I need $50 for art night, then you probably just ask the finance guys and or people, and they'll get you the $50, right? And if you're on, I don't know, the cleaning, and you need cleaning supplies, and you pay for it out of your pocket or whatever, you get paid back that way, the finance committee comes in. I don't think they didn't want to be the deciders about how all money gets distributed at TLR. So. Yeah, more room for growth, right? Was there another question? I thought I saw somebody else's hand. No? Okay. Well, we'll look forward to rolling everything up next week. Hope everybody can make it. If not, you just send an email to me or the TLR news. What is it? News@TLR.com? News@the-living-room. Okay. See Quinn for the email. Okay. All right. I think Herb's going to lead us through communion.
I'm going to say that we don't have time for communion. It's 10 after. I know you want to do communion? All right, we're doing communion. I wish I had marked the passage because I was reading. There's one part where Paul talks about how when they get together for their community meal, basically that people don't wait on each other. They kind of just eat and all that. But it references in there, too, that they do like a specific thing that I would call communion before they have their meal. So I'm glad we're doing it. But the verse I want to read, and again, I'm going to take this a little, it may be a little out of context, because Peter is talking to slaves. But I'm pretty sure if you asked Peter or Paul or any of those guys back then if this applies to everyone, I'm pretty sure he'd say it does. So we're talking, I've been talking a lot anyway about serving and living like Christ and aiming to live more like him. And this is from 1 Peter chapter 2, and he's, like I said, this is directed to slaves, but I very much think it's applicable to all of us. So, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example. And that was always the part that caught me was, he was our example. And then he goes on to explain, and he says, and you must follow in his steps. And then he actually lines out what his steps are, which is the hard part. But anyway, so he is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor he never deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls. And I just always thought it was very, it always moved me to think that the example that Christ set is not just the fact that he washed feet, he laid his life down. And I know it sounds like a very monumentous task to try to follow that, but I don't believe God ever tells us or wants us to live a certain way that is unable to obtain. I think you can do some things through your own personal discipline, but it's really about asking God to change your heart, to die to yourself, to carry your cross. And but anyway, I thought this verse, it's since communion does represent the crucifixion, I thought this is a nice verse to read with that. So I'll pray, and then Ryan can play some music softly in the background, and you guys can either pray, then come up and to yourself and pray, take communion, or just go ahead and come on up. I'll go ahead and pray. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's 10 after now, according to this clock, so you still got a couple minutes, but don't forget your kiddos. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, and thank you, Lord, for a group of people who I think truly want to serve you and want to become more like you. It's easy in this world to, I was telling Nancy this morning that it just seems like the world forces you to live the world's way. It seems like every time we get a little caught up on bills and everything to have extra to give, it just seems like the price of everything goes up, and it's like it's just a constant battle. But maybe that's the whole point, is that we're supposed to go out a little bit for ourselves to give to someone else. And I feel that one of the functions that you wanted to establish the church to do was just to serve others, whether it be through maintenance or cleaning or teaching or whatever it is. There's a place for everyone in your church. And I pray, Lord, that all of us go to you, and we ask you to change our hearts, ask us to ask you to just be open to what you want us to do. And if it seems outlandish and stupid, that we just trust you and do it anyway. I thank you for your mercy, Lord. I thank you for the blood you shed and the body you gave for us. I thank you for your amazing love and your never-ending love and just the grace that you have bestowed on all of us. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.